Today is the 24th day of the month of March. Welcome back to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome back around the global campfire. It's nice to see everyone as we come in and gather. So I laid down my burdens outside the circle here and came in here because I know this is a safe place. I encourage you all to do the same thing. Because, I mean, they're not going anywhere. They might change, though. Perspective might change. But this little circle around this global campfire is a safe place for our hearts. We just kind of give ourselves permission here to let God speak through the scriptures, knowing that we are among friends. Nobody really can hurt us here. And all that weight, it's not really helping anything anyway. And so let's come into this campfire and sit here in its warmth together and see the glow across the fire as we imagine each other's faces. And let's take another step forward. We started the book of Deuteronomy yesterday. These are the last discourses from the mouth of the prophet and leader Moses. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, and throughout their wilderness journey, throughout an entire generation who had disqualified themselves, and now he is speaking the story one last time to this new generation that is about to be led by Joshua, because Moses will not be leading them into the promised land. And so that is what the book of Deuteronomy is. The last four talks that he gives to the children of Israel as he gathers them together. This is his farewell. It's his goodbye. Today, Deuteronomy chapters 2 and 3. Then we turned back and set out toward the wilderness along the route to the Red Sea, as the Lord had directed me. For a long time we made our way around the hill country of Seir. Then the Lord said to me, "You have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. Give the people these orders. You are about to pass through the territory of your relatives, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. They will be afraid of you, but be very careful. Do not provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land. Not even enough to put your foot on. I have given Esau the hill country of Seir as his own. You are to pay them in silver for the food you eat and the water you drink. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything." So we went on past our relatives, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. We turned from the Arabah road, which comes up from Elat and Ezion Geber, and traveled along the desert road of Moab. Then the Lord said to me, "Do not harass the Moabites or provoke them to war, for I will not give you any part of their land. I have given Ar to the descendants of Lot as a possession." The Emites used to live there, a people strong and numerous, and as tall as the Anakites. Like the Anakites, they too were considered Rephaites, but the Moabites called them Emites. Horites used to live in Seir, but the descendants of Esau drove them out. They destroyed the Horites from before them and settled in their place, just as Israel did in the land the Lord gave them as their possession. And the Lord said, "Now get up and cross the Zered Valley." So we crossed the valley. 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered Valley. By then, that entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. The Lord's hand was against them until he had completely eliminated them from the camp. And when the last of these fighting men among the people had died, the Lord said to me, "Today you are to pass by the region of Moab at Ar. When you come to the Ammonites, do not harass them or provoke them to war, for I will not give you possession of any land belonging to the Ammonites. I have given it as a possession to the descendants of Lot. That too was considered a land of the Rephaites who used to live there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumites. They were a people strong and numerous and as tall as the Anakites. The Lord destroyed them before the Ammonites, who drove them out and settled in their place. The Lord had done the same for the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them. They drove them out and have lived in their place to this day. And as for the Avites, who lived in villages as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorites, coming out from Kaphtor, destroyed them and settled in their place. Set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hands Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his country. Begin to take possession of it and engage him in battle. This very day, I will begin to put the terror and fear of you on all the nations under heaven. They will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you. From the desert of Kedemoth, I sent messengers to Sihon, king of Heshbon, offering peace and saying, "Let us pass through your country. We will stay on the main road. We will not turn aside to the right or to the left. Sell us food to eat and water to drink for their price in silver. Only let us pass through on foot, as the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and the Moabites, who live in Ar, did for us, until we cross the Jordan into the land the Lord our God is giving us." But Sihon, king of Heshbon, refused to let us pass through, for the Lord your God had made his spirit stubborn and his heart obstinate in order to give him into your hands, as he has now done. The Lord said to me, "See, I have begun to deliver Sihon and his country over to you. Now begin to conquer and possess his land." When Sihon and all his army came out to meet us in battle at Jahaz, the Lord our God delivered him over to us, and we struck him down together with his sons and his whole army. At that time, we took all his towns and completely destroyed them, men, women, and children. We left no survivors. But the livestock and the plunder from the towns we had captured we carried off for ourselves. From Arior on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, and from the town in the gorge, even as far as Gilead, not one town was too strong for us. The Lord our God gave us all of them. But in accordance with the command of the Lord our God, you did not encroach on any of the land of the Ammonites, neither the land along the course of the Jabbok nor that around the towns in the hills. Next, we turned and went up along the road toward Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, with his whole army marched out to meet us in battle at Edrei. The Lord said to me, "Do not be afraid of him, for I have delivered him into your hands, along with his whole army and his land. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon." So the Lord our God also gave into our hands Og, king of Bashan, and all his army. We struck them down, leaving no survivors. At that time we took all his cities. There was not one of the 60 cities that we did not take from them. The whole region of Argob, Og's kingdom in Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls and with gates and bars, and there were also a great many unwalled villages. We completely destroyed them, as we had done with Sihon, king of Heshbon, destroying every city, men, women, and children. But all the livestock and the plunder from their cities we carried off for ourselves. So at that time we took from these two kings of the Amorites the territory east of the Jordan, from the Arnon Gorge as far as Mount Hermon. Hermon is called Sirion by the Sidonians. The Amorites call it Seir. We took all the towns on the plateau, and all Gilead, and all Bashan as far as Salika and Edrei, towns of Og's kingdom in Bashan. Og, king of Bashan, was the last of the Rephaites. His bed was decorated with iron and was more than 9 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. It is still in Rabbah of the Ammonites. Of the land that we took over at that time, I gave the Reubenites and the Gadites the territory north of Arior by the Arnon Gorge, including half the hill country of Gilead, together with its towns. The rest of Gilead, and also of Bashan, the kingdom of Og, I gave to the half-tribe of Manasseh. The whole region of Argob and Bashan used to be known as a land of the Rephaites. Jair, a descendant of Manasseh, took the whole region of Argob as far as the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites. It was named after him, so that to this day Bashan is called Havoth Jair. And I gave Gilead to Machir, but to the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave the territory extending from Gilead down to the Arnon Gorge, the middle of the gorge being the border, and out to the Jabbok River, which is the border of the Ammonites. Its western border was the Jordan and the Arabah, from Kinneret to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, below the slopes of Pisgah. I commanded you at that time, the Lord your God has given you this land to take possession of it. But all your able-bodied men armed for battle must cross over ahead of the other Israelites. However, your wives, your children, and your livestock, I know you have much livestock, may stay in the towns I have given you until the Lord gives rest to your fellow Israelites, as he has to you, and they too have taken over the land that the Lord your God is giving them across the Jordan. After that, each of you may go back to the possession I have given you. At that time, I commanded Joshua, you have seen with your own eyes all the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms over there where you are going. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. At that time I pleaded with the Lord, Sovereign Lord, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works you do? Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country and Lebanon. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me. That is enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me any more about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north, and south, and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you are not going to cross this Jordan. But commission Joshua, and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across, and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. Luke 6, 12-38. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Psalm 67. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear Him. Proverbs 11:27. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. So it's fascinating in the book of Deuteronomy, for me, because Moses is recounting a lot of places and he names a lot of places. Most of the places that he is naming are in modern day Jordan, and so it's just not been that long since we're actually in these places, looking at these different borderlands: Ammonites, Moabites, Seir, which is near Petra, the Edomites' territory, and their border, the Arnon Gorge, which is a very... they call it the Grand Canyon of Jordan. It's not like the Grand Canyon in the United States, but it is a very, very, very deep gorge. Beautiful. Very beautiful. Stark. The Zered Valley. The Jabbok River. All of these places are real places. They all still exist until today. They're not mythic places, and the people that are being spoken about are not mythic people. The archaeology is there. When Moses talks about King Sihon of Heshbon and defeating them because they attacked Israel, the ruins of Heshbon are there. They exist. That kind of stuff, well, at least for me, like, that kind of stuff matters for me in this work, to visualize the place, but also to, like, stand there and go, okay, this is a real place. And I'm standing in ruins. Like, I'm standing, these are archaeological ruins now, but I'm standing in the place where this was, that these really were people. This really did happen. And I mean, gosh, it's been a mission for a long, long time to film and capture these places and incorporate them, and so that you can see them, like, so that as we read through, we can see them. And that's, like, one of the things that's in the new app that it's just taken so long, but it's a dream come true to be able to say, okay, when we read through a place, we can look at that place. This is what it looks like. This is what the geography is. This is how that looks. But just having spent time, extended remix time in Jordan, and all the places that Moses is talking about in Deuteronomy, I'm like, okay, I know that route that they took because I was just there. I know what we're talking about here. And it clicks into place. Anyway, flipping the page into the New Testament, we're encountering Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from the Gospel of Luke. Sometimes this is called the Sermon on the Plain. Because, there's always scholarly debate about so many things. Like, did the Sermon on the Mount, was that a one-off? Was that his grand speech? Or is this, like, something he taught a lot? I guess if I'm thinking about it, he's announcing the kingdom of heaven and how it works. So I would imagine that he said similar things a lot of places. And so maybe this is a different telling. This is the Sermon on the Plain. But I don't know. And I don't even know that it matters. We encounter it again in the Gospel of Luke. And as famous as it is, we often miss the context of how revolutionary it actually was. So this is the core of Jesus' teaching, but it wasn't something he just talked about. It was what he lived. And those who heard this message and believed it, eventually it would come to be called the Way. Like long before there was something called Christianity, Jesus is this Hebrew rabbi who many then believe is the Messiah, and then who many believe is divine, the Son of God. And we believe that. Like, we're so far into the future now, billions of people believe that. But way, way back at kind of ground zero, where this is all just being spoken, these teachings were called the Way. Because Jesus is describing a way of looking at the world differently. He's trying to basically say, look, humanity was created differently than this. So you're human, but the software you are running, the way you are looking at things, has been distorted. And that is because, well, you've elevated yourself into a divine position, and sin is rampant among you. But you were designed a certain way. And if you look through a certain lens, if you view the world a certain way, and if everybody would return to the way that it was intended, the world would be restored. So that's disruptive, because the posture of heart to live the message that Jesus is talking about is nearly backward to the customs and rituals and the social hierarchy of his day and of our day. So his message is equally disruptive in our modern world. If you're walking through a park near your home and you were to come upon a small crowd, right? There's this crowd of people, maybe 30, 40 people. And you don't know exactly what's going on. You kind of just wander over, what's happening here? And you find that these people are listening to somebody talking. And you get close enough that you can start to hear what this person is saying. And you hear, to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If somebody wants to slap you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If somebody's demanding your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Like, if you didn't know that was out of scripture, and you had never heard that kind of talk before, how would you react to that? It sounds kind of weak, but intriguing. But it definitely sounds out of balance or out of sorts with the way that we would say the world works. It would be an alternative way of looking at the world we live in. Very different from the way things are, mostly. This is what the message of Jesus continues to communicate today. That there is a better way of looking at the world and living in it. I mean, when Jesus is like, look, if somebody demands your coat, offer your shirt also. What he's saying is so humble and humbling, but also so quietly disruptive and resistant. Because in his day, the cloak and the shirt, like, that's all you got on. So Jesus is saying, if somebody's gonna take from you, give them everything. You're standing there naked, they will be humiliated, and maybe they will see what they are doing by robbing from you or taking from you. Like, there is so many layers to this, and so much that Jesus is actually saying in his words, because this is a way of living in a world that has gone mad and has never found its moorings again. because of our pride and selfishness as human beings. For our willing to take what is not ours and to give what is not ours. And so it goes. But there is a way that it was intended to be. And Jesus is talking about that, saying there is a way things were created to be, and I am inviting you to look at that and move in that direction. The Sermon on the Mount describes that way of being in the world. The way. So maybe like reread what we read today in Luke's Gospel. You really want to get disrupted and go deeper. It's Matthew 5 through 7. It's the lengthy version. Understand, I mean, and that's something to wrestle. This is something to wrestle with. Because the truth is, it only works if everybody's doing it. But there is a posture of heart here underneath it all that Jesus is describing. He's describing humanity as it was intended to be. The correct way to live as a human being in this world. And so when we kind of understand that and look through that lens, his words aren't like goals that we should set and aim for, but rather he's describing the way things ought to be. He's describing shalom. And so, Father, we invite you into that in our own lives, because with any of these things, we could say that would be great. But it always begins with us. It always requires us to look inside and be self-aware enough to find the rhythm inside of ourselves. How do we make this so within our own hearts? Then it can spill out. But when we're only trying to order things around us, we really are looking at it backwards. It begins within. And so, Holy Spirit, we always ask this, lead us into all truth. Because Jesus promised that you would. And so it's not that you're not, it's whether or not we're paying attention. Help us be aware that you are leading us into all truth. And may we respond to it. May we respond to the words of the Savior describing the way things ought to be. In Jesus' name, in his name, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is the website. That is home base. That is where you find out what's going on around here. And so do that. The community section is where to get connected and be connected, whether through the prayer wall or through the different links to the social media platforms that we're on. Check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are resources there, everything from the DAB, the different DAB logo hats, the leather patched, really high quality caps, to the breathing prayer book, to the Daily Audio Bible Journal and things to write with, to Promised Land or The God of Your Story or Reframe or Sneezing Jesus, from books to take deeper dives in different directions that are essential as we read the Bible. Check all those things out. Check the resources out. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being around the global campfire is meaningful to you, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, this is Amy calling from Troutdale, Oregon. And I just heard God's Life speaker calling in, praying for their youth pastor, Rich, and his family, especially his 14-year-old son. And let's bring him before the throne of grace, family. Dear God, we praise you, God, for being the God of comfort, for being the God of hope, for being the God of healing. And God, I bring before you, Rich, I bring before you this 14-year-old son whose heart is hurting, God, as he prepares to say goodbye for now to his dad. Lord, only you know the deepest, most tender parts of his body and mind and heart that need your touch right now, God. Those deep, deep places that just need your special touch, your healing balm, Lord. For each member of this family, for each person impacted by this time of Rich being on a hospice, would you meet them exactly where they need? Would you encourage them, Lord? Would you remind them of your presence? May they see your hand in this, God. And when it doesn't seem to make any sense at all, God, I just pray that their hearts would just come running to you for you to hold them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Tito calling from Southern California. I wanted to call in today so that we could all come together and lift up a good friend of ours, Joel, who is suffering with cancer, multiple myeloma. A few weeks ago, he had a relapse with some back pain, and they biopsied and did all the tests, and he needed some treatment to address it. And so he started the treatment yesterday and immediately had an absolutely terrible reaction. A fever spiked and shaking and chills and lots of pain, and he ended up spending most of the night in the ER in the hospital to try to get diagnosed and see what was going on. And it's so tough when you, for those of you that are adjacent to somebody who's suffering like this, you know, it just reminds you how fragile life is and how tough it can be sometimes. And I just want to lift Joel up for prayer, for healing, for comfort for him and for his family and for his friends, those of us that are standing around him, that we would be able to be of service in him and that God would be able to shine his light through us in any way that could be encouraging to him or his family. Love you all very much. Thank you.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Jin and Min and my husband,
David.
We are calling in response to Dr. John's request for Bobby, who flies an F-35, I think he said the Air Force. And although he did say Iraq, I think he probably meant Iran. And we're calling in on March 18th. And so we want to pray for that. I was Air Force as well, and I served during Desert Shield, Desert Storm. So Dr. John, your request struck a chord for me. So God, we lift up all of the members of our military who are flying in the air, who are on the ground, who are in boats and ships, who are manning drones, who are aware of the intelligence that needs to pass accurately, who are intercepting, who are watching radars. And for the families, the mothers and the fathers and the sisters and brothers who are at home keeping the home fires warm, Father, we lift up especially our commander in chief, who is responsible to give, direct, and pray for our members of the military. So we lift all of these up to you, and we ask, as you are the supreme leader of the world, we pray for your will be done, your protection, your wisdom to be disseminated to all the different faculties. And we thank you, God, because we put our trust in you and you alone as the creator and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for this, and we thank you for this prayer request. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. I just want to lift up a couple of prayer requests. One is for the woman that called in, and she's been dealing with some bronchitis. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you bring remedy to her, healing to her body. Just help her to be rid of the bronchitis. Show her the right supplements or the right people to talk to, doctors to talk to see that she's able to afford. And but also we just ask that you heal, like that you bring healing to her body, Lord. And then for Bruce, who's in prison, we thank you that he got his pain medication. But we just ask that you continue to work in that space with the people that are around him to bring him the proper care he needs, Lord. Just be a shining light in that institution. And I want to just ask for last kind of prayer requests prior to my surgery, which is in 1 week. I'm having back surgery. Multiple things are being done, one of which is a fusion of a couple of vertebrae and whatnot. So I just pray, I just want to ask for prayer that everything goes well. The surgeon's hands are steady and decisive, and that the recovery will be bearable and quick and swift. Thank you.
Hey, this is Heather of Pax People Way of Texas, and I want to reach out to Ashley and Eddie C. Ashley, rejoice, and Eddie C., both of y'all, I have a word, rejoice. Rejoice when we're being attacked. Rejoice when we're living on the mountaintop. Rejoice. The devil cannot stay when we are rejoicing and pressing in. Press in. Keep running the race. Eddie C., your faith. Jesus said it can be the size of a mustard seed and be enough to move a mountain. Brother, you're going to move a mountain. Get into a church. Get into a Bible-believing, Bible-reading, Bible-bringing church. Get into it. Get into a men's group. Get into a Bible study. Both of y'all, get into a life group if you're not in one, or a small group, whatever you call them. There's going to be a day where church is not going to be an option, and we're going to just have us fellow believers meeting in houses like the early Christians did. But no matter what, please do not give up. Y'all are both planted in the garden, in the fertile soil, with deep roots. Do not be the seeds out on the rocks getting burned up by the sun, by what comes against you, and you lose faith, you lose hope. Don't do that. Jesus died for us. No matter what, remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. And Satan, he's already been defeated. Don't let him have the victory. He has no victory. So rejoice, rejoice, and rejoice. It's counterproductive. I understand that. But rejoice when you're being attacked, because that means someone's paying attention. Amen.
Hey, Dad family. This is God's Life Speaker. Thank you for all of your prayers. I heard Hands to Heaven on the podcast for Rich. And I'm sure there's lots on the community prayers. I'm just behind. Rich passed last night on the 19th. And so we appreciate your prayers going forward. Walking with this youth who at 14, who has lost his dad. Walking with this wife who is in her 40s and now a widow, walking with Rich's mom, who's in her mid-80s. Know that you're all praying.